that experience, but if we can just go back a little bit. It's also wonderful to hear everyone yell out, everyone express their hymn of choice. I can honestly say your parents would be proud. Find yourself turning into them. Find yourself singing the hymns they used to sing. Because now, finally, where you are in your experience, you can actually understand what those hymns mean. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Him. Like, who knew what that meant when we were kids, right? Just keep hearing it over and over again. What a friend we have in Jesus. Just kept hearing it. But now as you get older, it makes sense. I need to trust Him. I need grace to trust Him more. And then that one song that came out the back that no one up front knew. Your grandmother would be very proud. Not even your mother, but your grandmother would be very proud of that recollection and that experience. So I won't take too much time and say Happy New Year and holiday greetings. I think we're almost out of it, almost. But it's a blessing to be here on this side of the year. Many didn't make that trip with us from 2024. Some are hanging on for dear life even now. So we'll continue praying and give God thanks for what He has done for us. Happy New Year, Messenger of Hope. If you would turn with me, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to take a look there at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to take a look at verse 7. I'm going to read from the King James Version, which is on the screen, I believe. I will also read from some other versions. And just to give some variety, if you have a different version, by all means, let's ask you to read your version as well. Just want to kind of get some context. The Bible says there, it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver. New Living Translation says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Our message today is entitled Quitter's Day. Quitter's Day. We're praying, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and for your mercy. We appreciate, dear Lord, this opportunity to come before your awesome presence. And dear Lord, we have hit this new year, dear Lord, in stride. And we gratefully just come before you today and say thank you. So now, dear Lord, as we seek to hear a word from you, to receive the word, dear Lord, you prepare for us this day. I ask, dear Lord, that you will not allow my words to be heard or my thoughts to be conveyed, dear Lord. I pray you'll move me out the way. Dear Lord, we want to hear a word from you. We ask you to shut down all distractions, dear God, please. Bind the devil, dear Lord. All of his imps, dear Father, bind them hand and foot now. Move them from this place. And preach, O Lord, preach. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, we say, amen. The idea of Quitter's Day, I had no idea what it was, but apparently it was born out of this idea that individuals each year make certain oaths or resolutions or commitments to themselves or others about what they're going to do this year, the new year. And we call it New Year's resolutions, and sometimes it's to stop doing something, sometimes to start doing something. And apparently, based upon some type of a national data or something they've compiled, they were able to resolve that the second Friday of January is known as National Quitter's Day. Does that boggle your mind? That they were able to put together and compile data and get all the statistics in place and realize that by the second Friday of January, nationally, people just say, it wasn't worth. That wasn't even what he wanted to do anyway. I was listening to so-and-so at work. Just imagine that by the second Friday, people have said no. And what so just so you know how I learned about this, it wasn't because I did any great research. I was watching TV with my son. Watching television, and his commercial comes on. And the commercial talks about, you know, the second Friday of January is known as National Quitters Day. And I saw it, and I'm looking at it, and I didn't say anything, right? And he saw it, and he didn't say anything real time. And then he has a commitment that he made for the new year. And so in the first week of that commitment, you know, we're all in it together, you know, just trying to do the whole family thing, you know, the new year thing, right? The new year, family thing, try to, you know, do it. And so we're doing that. And he turns to me and says, Dad, can't miss today. Because you know what they say about the second Friday of January, you know? It's National Quitters Day, and we don't want to be a part of the National Quit. And so it really resonated with me because I'm thinking to myself, why Friday? Why not the second Tuesday or Monday? Monday makes sense, right? First day back, work, kind of Monday. Why Friday? And I'm sitting here, I'm asking myself, why on a Friday? And I thought about Fridays, and I thought about the first one, and I'm thinking about what God does or what God did on that first one that we now call Friday. It was numbered 6, right? And he makes these land animals. He literally creates land animals, hippopotamus, the bear. What else you got? You got some, someone say alpacas? Oh, lions, right? Somebody said alpacas. I mean, it's a strange animal. I never knew it even existed until I became an adult. I don't understand why I didn't know about it ahead of time. You know what I mean? I knew about llamas, but I didn't know about alpacas. It's a weird thing. Also, I see commercials. You want to get an alpaca? I'm like, no, I don't want to go alpaca. What? What do they do? And it looks a little strange, little, you know what I mean? A little weird, kind of looking at you. Anytime there's an animal that's staring at you for a long time, beware, right? They always kind of, that's look out for that one. It's like, you ever see an ostrich, like, live? That's a very scary animal. It's very intimidating. I'm not going to call it scary because I'm a grown man, got children listening. But it's a very intimidating animal. And just to know it can run so fast and with that weird little shape, just a weird little, you know, it's how you do that, right? And to stay balanced and kind of run and do the whole, it's just a little much for me, a little much for the gooseneck, just can't, right? But God on the sixth day, in his wisdom, and I don't even know, when was the ostrich created? What is that? Is that a land animal? Is that a bird? Is it a fowl of the air? Like, I don't know how to categorize that one. I got stuck on the hippopotamus earlier. I don't know if that's marine life. I don't know if that's land. You know, they go in and out, right? But God, there you go, God in his wisdom, on the sixth day. Now, I'm going to say this. Can I just venture for a moment? I'm going to say that somewhere early on the sixth day, God makes and creates these animals. And I want to believe, I'm going to get some information on this when we get to heaven. Remember that song you sung earlier for the opening hymn, When We All Get to Heaven, that one? It won't be right away. But I'm going to get some information as to when and how he called each animal into existence. Let there be, boom. Or is it just kind of like a let there be general? And I don't serve a general God. When God made me, he was real specific. And I just, when God makes stuff, he just, and can you imagine God doing roll call on animals on the sixth day? And all of a sudden, boom, 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 the baboon just right here. Baboon just shows up. The silverback, giving, because they had to give praise to who made. If a dog can be trained to come up to you and bow down and lick your hand and kiss your hand, y'all kiss him in the mouth? I don't know what y'all do. I don't know. Y'all do that? Y'all do that? Y'all, I don't know. Right? But if a dog can do all those things, right, in a couple weeks of obedience training, what says an animal that's been called into existence by their creator and comes up and God is before them who just called? Can you imagine what the lion did? Can you imagine what the tiger did? And why did they call the lion a king of the jungle when lions are not in jungles? Just me. I got it. I have questions. I'm going to ask those questions. Some of them I'll reserve for heaven. Others I'll ask you. And just look at you, look at me with no answer. But somewhere in that creation day, in the sixth day, God splits the creation into two. It's beautiful. He's done. He is done. He is literally, he has plastered stars all into the sky. He has put up lights, greater lights and lesser lights that rule by night. He has done all these marvelous things. He set up the atmosphere. He's brought water in. They didn't even know what, I mean, right? And he has brought land up. All of a sudden, earth begins to bud. I don't know how, again, I'm trying to figure out, because it's in a day, how he called the trees up, and then the trees and the seeds began to sprout up, and it just became fully grown. Can you imagine seeing this? And then all of a sudden, everything is done. And he calls forth the animals, and they're all there. Right? I'm talking about, none of them need grooming. They don't need to be, nothing, just, I mean, all the. And when he calls them all, and they're just there, right? I don't have a pet. I'm not sure this is what they do. But as the animals are there waiting, all of a sudden, it's almost like it's an idea that pops into his head, but we know it's not. He begins to have a conversation with himself, by himself. Right? Can you imagine that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says what? In the beginning, God, right? Created the heavens and the earth, right? And then in verse 26, all of a sudden, he has this conversation. In verse chapter 1, verse 26, it says, let us make man. And so now, let us, he's not talking to the animals. They just got here. And it is, and so the angelic hosts, they're witnessing this, like, did you see that? The stars just keep going, they're shooting, right? And then all of a sudden he says, let us make man in our, I'm talking about National Critters Day. And so literally, God does not call forth man. He goes in and makes man with his hands, and all creation is leaning in and observing God's handiwork. That's you and me. All creation is still witnessing and observing God's handiwork. That's you and me. And as he brings it forth, he says, this is man. He has enough time left over to speak to Adam, talk to Adam about what's going on, introduce him to, hey, here's my creation. Adam names creation. See how God gets you involved in his stuff and you think you run stuff? And as Adam does all that, all he's doing, he doesn't need Adam's help to name the lion. He needs Adam to realize a lion has a lioness. And so as he employs Adam, he says, Adam, name, and he begins to now do recall. And Adam is doing recall, and he's bringing it back. All the things have been planted in his mind. And as he's doing this, he says, what about me? Then God doesn't tell him, I'm going to do this thing. God just puts him to sleep. Some of you are doing it right now. And notice I didn't say God put him to sleep, but I said they're doing it right. You notice I did that? Little plane. I didn't do all the words. I kept some of them out. Like I kind of intended it, but I, you know, right? He puts him to sleep. And when he puts him to sleep, he opens him up. He just put him together. And he opens him back up. Anyone ever do that? You ever put something together and you have to open it back up? Do you hate that? Man, I thought I had everything on. Oh, I gotta go back inside. Right? And so, but God doesn't do that because God knows what he's doing. He says, I need to make something out of him. He didn't have to. He could have screamed, could have said, you know, I'll make another one. But he goes back into what he made and he begins and he gets one thing out of it. And he exposes, some say he exposes the heart. Right? Opens the heart up. And now he creates very differently. He made man as real. It's like a box he make. Like I've ever made anything out of dust. But somehow when he creates woman, he crafts it just right. And when he gets done crafting it, creation's like, right? And so as they're going through that, he then spends time with woman one-on-one. I want you to get this. This is important because a lot of times when people preach to you, they make it seem as though Adam was there and then Eve was created and then Eve came along and Adam was the go-between between Eve and God. And they treat like that now. That's why they say, what they say, you can't be ordained, commissioned. Is that how I don't know how it works now. I don't get. Did I say that out loud? It's on. We're live. So Adam's still sleeping, which many men do. The woman is awake and engaging with God. After she gets done engaging, this is all the sixth day, just one day. This is still the second half of the day, right? As I call it. As she is engaging with God, and he is downloading his love into her, she is prepared to be a wife before Adam's prepared to be. So by the time Adam gets up, she knows her role. That's why they look at it, and it's something that's gone down, transcend generation. Oh, they know before you know. We'll do on Family Life Weekend, we'll talk about all of it. So by the time Adam wakes up from the heavenly anesthesia, he's not groggy. He's not having withdrawal. He's not coming. He gets up. The only side effect, Chiron, is that the side is not open for love. You know what I'm saying? Right? Right? That's a side effect. That you my side effect. You see what I'm saying? They ain't ready. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you, boy. You hooked up a whole month just like that. That there boy. So by the time Adam gets up, and Eve is standing before him, God the Father, who giveth this woman to be, and God the Son, as introduced to us. Sure you're right, my brother. Sure you're right. And the Holy Spirit is hovering all over it. Y'all gonna be all right, y'all, right? And so by the time Adam gets up and he spots Eve, woo! Man! Bone of mine! He knew something was gone, but it wasn't missing. They ain't ready. They ain't ready. Hey, come on. We're going to preach together. You and me. We're just going to do it. We're going to do it. Right? And he gives her this pronouncement of being one with him. That's the sixth day. And in that moment, they are there before the presence of God. And they have a ceremony, a marriage ceremony, unmatched since the beginning of time. I'm talking about all, the galaxies opened up for them. Milky Way was just on some, right? And literally, they are there, they are pronounced, and they come together. And watch this, as a sixth day. So when he wraps up the sixth day, what does he say? Very different, right, than the other days. He says, and it was very good. This right here, woo! And as he's done with that, I want you to catch this. He has set up their first date, their first night of marriage. He has set up their first, the beginning of their lives together to commence on this beautiful, as you call it, Friday evening. But he says the evening and the morning, that was a day. So now as the sun is dropping, saying bye. You imagine the sun leaving that first day? Bye. And the sunset just dropping in the backdrop there. And now the seventh day opens. That is it. We call it Friday night. They call it the opening of Sabbath. And they open Sabbath up as their nuptials have just been spoken. And they open up their wedding night in the presence of God. They open up their Sabbath. Awesome stuff. You know, one of the challenges we often have is it's messed up when what they did with Friday night and Saturday. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, everything happened on Friday night and Saturday. Boy, they took the Sabbath, they hijacked the whole thing. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things I couldn't do when I was in school. You know, when I was in elementary school, they used to have a little thing where if you had a certain grade, a certain set of grades, you can get a fluorescent green, it was orange back in my day, orange belt. And they call you a safety patrol. Goes over one shoulder, wraps around the waist, and has a little buckle. And that one, they never told us ahead of time that if you get good grades, Sherwin, you'll get this belt. They never said a word to me. I didn't know about it. All of a sudden, grades come out. Got what I got. Everybody else got a belt. How'd you get the belt? Oh, they give it to you if you have a certain grade. Well, if you'd have told me, I would have competed. I didn't know anything to compete about, so I didn't do it. Those people, I remember, they all went on a train to Washington, D.C. The patrols, yep. And you know what bothered me the most? They came back from the little trip. And apparently they went to the United States Department of Treasury. And they bought these little pens that had dollar bills shredded inside the pen. Here's what bothered me. Why are you bringing that to school? You went home before you came here from the train station. You could have left that at home. We don't use pens in fifth grade. We got a box of crayons and some big pencils. But you brought it here to rub in my face that I couldn't go. That's all right. That's just the beginning of my first woe. But going into high school, man, homecoming. Remember homecoming? The year just started. Football, getting ready to come in and get a little homecoming king, homecoming queen. You're supposed to walk, you're supposed to vote. Well, I'm going to vote for you. Vote for me. Right? But then the way they vote, and they go up and have a little fake crown on, they ride, and that's a big, they have a big float, parade. But when was that? Friday night. The game? Friday night. I remember I was playing basketball, and it was JV. And there's one other guy who also was a Seminary Adventist. And he did not participate in activities on the Sabbath. And so we spoke to the coach and said, look, coach, we can play. But on Saturdays, we won't be able to make it to practice or Friday night games, but, you know, we can play. Because JV, they kind of had their games on the off week. You know what I mean? Off nights, Thursday nights. You know what I mean? We could do that. I could run that. I could run that, right? And coach, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'll never forget, you know, a little short afro. It was an afro. And his mustache about the same height as my afro. And he said, cool. And so, all right, good. So I left. And so that first week, Saturday, practice in the morning, and, you know, I didn't go. Ain't at school Monday morning. Why are you upset? Coach, you know, kind of all tight. This is back in the days when we weren't used to coaches yelling. Remember that? It was done kind of secretly. And he was kind of like trying to get deep in the voice, but I wasn't one of those students. I was just told to really just, you know, stand up for yourself no matter what. So in 10th grade, you know, you come at me, you know, why are you at practice? I told you I wasn't going to come to practice because I go to church. But it's kind of hard to say you go to church and you're getting kind of strong in your voice. I love the Lord. That's why I didn't come. You know, it's just kind of, it's a real interesting balance. And so, end of the day, we got kicked off the team. But, don't owe it. Don't owe it. It's fine. We play basketball at church. But watch this. So I'm just going over. I mean, I'm talking about grad night. They don't do grad night anymore too much around these parts. Grad night was when they would take the whole senior class and you would go up to Disney World, right? And you would go and have the whole place gets locked down just for the seniors, and they go through and do all that stuff. I didn't go. But apparently they don't do it anymore for Disney World, but they do it in Disneyland. So if you want to go and roll your child in Disneyland, Universal? It sounds like it's called Grab Bash. They don't have the same ring. I don't get it. I don't. Not feeling it, just not. Grad Night was this, you know, it's kind of new Grad Night. They spelled night wrong, but you know what I mean? Kind of re-went with it, but Grad Bash. That's fine. But this was always on a Friday. Same thing. So you guys didn't go. I'm good. Right? So, and then they'll have like the school dance. Remember the school dance? That's middle school. So school dance, middle school. Advent is good, but they don't dance. Then there's some of y'all weddings. I see. I know what you could do. But in middle school, you know, they had the little school dance, and the school dance was on, it was on Friday night. And the thing about it is, here's what's tough, right? The tough part was always when there's a Friday night event, that was more difficult than a Saturday event. Here's why. You're in school on Friday. And so typically what happens is you're just going to go ahead and roll right into it, right? And so to have that break of separation of a day, yeah, I couldn't make it, bro. Yeah, I couldn't. But the Friday night thing is kind of rough because you're kind of at school, they, you know, kind of slide into these events. And they had that school dance. And no one really planned to dance when you go. But it's one of those things where you just need to be there, right? And it's kind of seemed like you were there, but you didn't really want to be there. You know that little middle school thing, you go through that phase. You don't want to be somewhere, but you really do want to be there. You got to kind of play cool. Like, whatever, man, I'm here. But just, you know, I got somewhere else to go. 12-year-olds is popping. You know what I mean? Like, right? And so that was the school dance. But remember prom night? There's some quick learners, boy. I don't know what it is. What's up? We say proms? Prom night. So some of you got messed up because prom was on Friday night. Others of you, you made out all right because prom was on Saturday night, but you spent all day in a beauty salon to get right. But Saturday night. But right, but that was like prom, right? So that's another big thing, right? You get that picture, and they don't tell you to wipe your face off because you look greasy in the picture first. Well, that's back in our day. And these are bad background, the contrast isn't quite right. But that's prom night. And then finally the big one, graduation. And graduation back in the days was on, you know, Friday night, Saturday. Graduation. Oh, you know what? What about the SATs? Remember those? SAT and the ACT? If you took both of them. Or if you're like me, it's kind of like, why? Just why, right? Why take both, right? Why, right? But they would have those tests. They call it, you know, those standardized college tests, and they'll do them on Saturday, right? And the whole school, and you show up on Saturday morning like you didn't want to be there, but I'm going to college. I'm going to college. And you go sit down and take a little test, and no one knew that you could have opted to get a letter to take the test on another day. Remember that? What about when you were in school, in undergrad, and you want to take a placement test for medical school or something, like a GRE or remember the MCAT or something like, and you said, what, I have to do this on this day, this is one time, so I can get to school, but it was a Saturday test. Remember those days? I'm talking about they messed up Sabbath. They hijacked them. It's quiet in here. It get cold. It got quiet. They got no one saying amen. So, but remember that thing you just kind of said, man, I'm going to go in and just do this thing one time. I just need to take this one test. I got to do this one thing. And they just straight up, they took the Sabbath and they made all kind of, the best sale start. You ever notice that? They dropped the sale dates on Saturday. No. Try to get a pair of Jordans and see what day they dropped. They got a pair dropping a couple hours ago, just dropped. And guess what? By the time sunset, you go in there, your size is gone. Right? Travel, some of the best travel deals right on Sabbath morning or Sabbath night. You can get a destination all-inclusive, so you know, just I need to get some rest. It's for my mental health. Just gotta get there. So what are we doing? Sabbath. The first Sabbath was designed so that man could spend time experiencing the goodness and the blessings of God. It was so much so that by the time you get to Genesis chapter 2, God says, and he sanctified it. He set it apart and called it holy, and which means he poured blessings into a 24-hour. Let me say how powerful. He pours blessings into a time. It's heavy. The blessings that God poured into this 24-hour cycle is so that if you were to step into those blessings, you'd receive such abundance of joy, peace, goodness, all the stuff that would flow into your life. But what happens is we turn away from it. and we don't get those blessings. But you know what's even more messed up? I know you said amen for a whole lot of other stuff, and then you got real quiet. Here's what's really messed up for me. What's really messed up is what the church did with the Sabbath. I remember I was a teenager. And does anyone have another version of the scripture that we read earlier? 2 Corinthians 9:7. Any other versions? You have another version? Would you read it for us, please? That'd be perfect. Yes. Yes, please. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to come back to you in a few moments, okay? I'm going to go back through that one more time. But I just want to say this. When I was young in the church, I was a teenager. And what do teenagers like to do at church the most? We like to come to church, perhaps, but we like to go outside and hang outside of church, right? So what we'll do, socialize, exactly. So what we'll do is we'll come to church, we'll sit in the back, and one of the older folks will come get us during service. Jason, so-and-so, come on. Take us out to church, and they'll tell us to go in the back and set up tables for lunch. Seriously, right? And so we go back in the back and set up tables for lunch, and you go get the tables, they go, oh, whatever, and then they say, hey, the youth deacons, 15, 16, 17, okay, I need you guys to go walk through church and count how many people are in church today. So while the preacher's preaching, now my count's all off. I got to go back a pew. And then what they'll do is sometimes as you're walking through your counting, one of your friends will look at you and go, 38, 50, 22, right? And so by the time you get done, you just estimated, how many people you got? 190, what you get, right? And so what I'm getting at is the church taught us when we were growing up that the world took the Sabbath and hijacked it, and we had to be very careful. But then I came to church and realized the church took the Sabbath and hijacked it. How many times have you heard in your old church, not this church, but in other churches, we have to have a meeting about it today because everyone's here? Now, wait a second. Why I got to meet about business? Oh, and so what they'll do is they'll do this, but it's the Lord, and they'll slap Jesus' name on it. It's the Lord's business. Okay, I thought we were just talking about whether we should rent the school. The church, it wasn't the world, but the church took the Sabbath, hijacked it for their own purpose. You know how many meetings I used to have on Sabbath? My family would not see me. We would literally drive to church separately. Drive to church separately, go in there, meeting after meeting after meeting, because every family and every problem, they have to come meet with a pastor, and they need someone else to as a witness, and here I go witnessing. And so after church is over, I got to go see my family in the car, tell them bye, go back into the meeting, and sit there for an hour or two, and go ahead and stay at church during, because we got elders meeting afterwards anyway. So I got to go and stay for that meeting. And by the time I'm done, sun has dropped and set. And that's it. Matter of fact, this happened to me about 2 weeks ago. Went to a church meeting. Sunset, drop, come out, pitch black, nighttime. So if I wanted to go dip myself into some Sabbath blessings and get that stuff, I got to wait till next week. And pray to God I make it. It became abundantly clear to me during the quarantine shutdown time. That's when it hit. Because during that time, church had to do church very differently. And we experienced Sabbath like we never had before. Now, some of us experienced Sabbath very differently. We were able to go into Flag Football League without anyone asking us anything. Because can't go to church anyway, right? So it's kind of like, oh, I mean, where you at today? Nah, bro, we just kind of taking it easy. Hey, run, right? And so we did that. But others, we were able to go do what? Bike ride, go for walks, Go spend time together as a family. Literally meet each other on the Sabbath. Have some fun times. Do some stuff. And we were able to do those things. And we could kind of click on a Vesper Thought online, Zoom, right? And then we could click back off. But we were with our family, with our loved ones. And so in those moments, we were able to kind of rekindle the gift that God had left for us. Now, what are you getting at? And why are you talking about this? I thought we were going to talk about some New Year's resolutions. Here's what I realized. Exercise is very, very tricky, yet universal. Do you know that you will get the same results if you exercise willingly or unwillingly? Doesn't matter. If I challenge you and I say, look, we're gonna have an exercise, we're gonna have a push-up contest, right? Even if you don't want to do it, by the time you get done, you'll benefit from doing exercise that you didn't want to do. You'll still reap the benefit. So that type of resolution, the reason why that whole National Quitters Day is huge is because if you keep on doing it, even though you don't want to do it, you'll still benefit from it. But you read something a moment ago, and you said every man should give what is purpose in his heart, right? To give, not under compulsion and not out of necessity, right? Because God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, you will not receive the blessings, woo, watch me now, that you could receive if you did it willingly with a happy heart in engaging God on the Sabbath by just showing up. Have you ever heard the phrase, you should be happy I'm here? You ever get that? People say that, come to church. You should just be happy I'm here. We should just be happy they're here. No, not really. Because you're not here for me. This has nothing to do with me, right? And keeping the Sabbath is not wrapped up in attendance at church. Isaiah 58 is powerful. It's actually the whole chapter goes through how God says, you fast and you pray, but you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for yourselves. You imagine God saying all that fasting you're doing, abstaining from food and all this stuff, it's not for me, you're doing it for yourselves. He says, even when you come together and come to the synagogue every single day, go to the temple every single day, you do it for yourself. That's what he says in Isaiah chapter 58. Then he goes into verse 13, he says, but if you would keep my Sabbath holy, and stop trampling all over it. And call it, here's a part that gets me, if you will call it a delight. All I stop by to say today is that we quit the Sabbath. We just straight up quit Sabbath. Did it. And we let circumstances or even sometimes a church be our reason for quitting the Sabbath. See, no one can tell you this is exactly what you're supposed to do. Every Sabbath, you do it this way, and then you'll be fine. Because we had a hard shift during COVID. I was at a church. Can I come down? I know we ain't friends no more. We all right? Okay, I can come down. For real, it's uncomfortable. You have no idea. It feels like it's cold up there by yourself. It's just everybody looking at you. I don't know my life like that. No, yeah, I'm not talking to you. The Holy Spirit is, not me. I was at a church, and I preached in the morning, and it was my people type of church. So I went in, I made sure I had a tie on, and the last time I went there, I had some sneakers on, right? And so I want to, but I'm trying to think, it's going to get too close, and they'll kind of, and I'm trying to, eh. So the pastor's wife says to someone, a family, oh yeah, he came by, it was great. Enjoyed the service. Da, da, da. Yeah, and he had his sneakers on, so I guess because, you know, because it was raining, I guess he had to. So she was trying to make sure that she could kind of qualify. He showed up in some mess. But you know what? The weather, I get it, but right? And so she says that. So I come back the next time now, and I made sure that morning I put a tie on because I was trying to make sure they could hear the message as opposed to getting caught up on my neck, right? And so they asked if I would stay back and do an afternoon program, and let me just say it's the last one I've been invited to, right? So I stayed back, and we ended up doing an evening program with some young people, and they had a skit. They put the skit together. I had nothing to do with it, Sherwin, honestly, right? And they had a young man come in, and they said, okay, here's a skit. You're a young man who's visiting, and you're supposed to be on program today, but you came in with a shorts and a shirt. And so I'm sitting there waiting for the punchline. Okay, yeah, and then what happens? The young guy, like, yeah, all right, go ahead. Then what? Read the rest of it. No, that's it. So now you can't serve. I'm like, huh? Yeah, they had on jeans and this. So I sat back kind of cool and quiet. I'm like, the grown folk who were there. Yeah, I mean, everyone agreed that the young man could not participate in service. The only issue they were having in their little skit that they were trying to bring out the facts was, how do we tell them nicely? And some of those hard notes, no, you got to tell them. It's about the standards of the church. The standards. We are principles. And so we're sitting there listening to them like, and other ones, no, you have to know if you talk to people sometimes. Just telling you, next time you bring our slacks and our shirts, and just give my you can't even give my jacket for go up. They said I can still look up. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, and they asked me to do the wrap up. That's where you mess up. Because I ain't sitting there, so I ain't saying I was sitting like this. I'm like, I cannot believe. I get up and I asked them, I said, I heard much discussion and counsel to the young man about what he should wear and the jeans that he had on, the shirt, and he could not participate in service. I think he was like doing an offering, like, really? Offering? I need to be tuxed out, right? And so I said, I just have a question because I understand the whole reverence for the house of worship and everything. During COVID, when you guys were on Zoom, because we're talking about the reverence for God. It's all about Jesus. I said, did you wear heels and stockings or nylon? What do they call? I don't know what they call them. Stockings, nylons, but right? I said, did you wear though? And no one answered me. It's like. And I said, because if it's just about Jesus, he was in that service as well. And it seems as though you want the young man to dress a certain way for you. I'm just asking. Anyway, I've never been invited back. But my point is, we cook up a whole lot of stuff that has nothing to do with, remember that old song, I want to get back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you, right? We have all of these little things we want to do. And my church, you know what? The biggest discussion is we need to have some bulletins. Apparently in heaven we're going to have bulletins. His announcements for next week's potluck. You just need to go ahead and know who bringing what. You know, Peter bought the string beans last time. It didn't work out too right. Here's your bulletin. Like, are we doing that? Right? I'm not suggesting you shouldn't know what's coming up in church, but the bigger issue right now is bulletins. That's what we're talking about, paper. And whether we should renew and buy a new copier to make the bulletins. You think I'm joking, don't you? We have missed ministry because we're so caught up on the stuff, and we can't figure out why it is our young people have no appreciation for Sabbath blessings. Let me share this with you. So I was at a council meeting up north, and he came in, and he is a very interesting story. And I'll actually, for those of you who want it, I'll send you the link so you can watch it for yourself. He is from Nigeria, and I believe he is the either the wealthiest family in Nigeria, I think it's the wealthiest family in Nigeria, and he deals in energy, right? And he came and he was giving a testimony and he was talking about the sacredness of the Sabbath, and he has business partners in other countries. I think one of them was from China, who is not a Christian. And so he was talking about when they need to go into different countries and kind of broker some deals. And what he would do, he literally would reserve all these major business decisions. He would reserve them for his prayer list, his petitions on Sabbath. I'm not joking. He said he would literally go pray. You imagine going and waiting. You got $1 billion deal, right? This is different money. It's not U.S. money. This is the money, the real money, right? And so, he has that type of a transaction. He says, you know, I'm going to hold off till Sabbath. I'm going to put it on prayer. And he put on his prayer list for Sabbath. And he said, every single time God would just answer and answer and answer. His Chinese business partner, who is not Christian, not a Seventh-day Adventist, would turn to him and say, did you pray about this one yet? He would tell him, I need you to go pray. Put this before the Lord on Sabbath. So guess what I did? I shared it with Amber. I sent her to Amber's mom. So I sent it to her. You might think it's some random people. You just sent it to Amber, right? So I sent it to Amber. I was like, man, you got this man's testimony. It's powerful. And so she said, you know what? We got some stuff we need to pray about. So you know what she did, Kevin? Every Sabbath from that time, we would go as a family and put that thing in prayer. When I tell you what God has done, I'm not saying that it's nothing that would have happened on us. Like, you know, we try to like rationalize God's miracles afterwards. Like God does something great. God, oh man, the medicine really works. But you've been taking the medicine for 20 years and it didn't. And now you prayed and all of a sudden, right? I'm talking about watching God move. And what I'm saying, the reason I came here today, it was not to embarrass. I want to make sure we understand that I've been there. I've lived it. I've seen it outside the church, inside the church. I had to give up cartoons at a young age for the love of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Because we used to have a different type of cartoon structure. You guys can go grab them online. We couldn't do that before. It was just one day. You missed that day. You're out the loop. And every step of the way, every test I've had to take, every test I failed. Not on the Sabbath, though. I failed all my tests on Sunday. God has been so kind, but there's some special bundle of blessings contained in the Sabbath. And if we don't spend time with him there, if we keep quitting God and quitting the Sabbath, we're going to have a hard time this year. National Quitters Day was yesterday. So you know what I have? I got a trick. I didn't tell my son yet. We're going to start today again. Saying, I didn't know you quit. That's fine. Didn't have to go through all that, right? But we start again today. And what happens if we start again today? We don't fall victim to National Quitters Day. That was yesterday. Today, we start afresh. Now, I'm going to share these things with you. And that's when I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to sit down. Every church will tell you, you need to give. You got to give. And many churches will tell you to give until it what? Hurts. Right? There are some churches who will tell you you need to learn how to sacrificially give. Right? What does God say? He says whatever you made up in your mind before you got here to give. He says give that. Don't feel compelled to give. Don't feel like there's a necessity that you have to give. Don't have any. He said, just give, because God wants you to be, do what when you give? Happy, cheerful. He's not just talking about your money. He's not talking about the stuff you get paid at work. He's talking about you. When you give that service and render that service to God, got nervous to sit up here looking mean face because you didn't want to, what do you want to sing today? Talking about the goodness of the Lord. Talking about the goodness of the Lord. He's been good. Talking about, really? God says, cheerfully. You ever see someone who can sing, but they just have their dispositions all jacked up? You ever meet someone who can't really sing? They have a pleasant disposition? You ever met someone like me who has neither? Right? But there's something about someone who truly is engaging worship as opposed to performing that'll stir up the angelic host, and all of a sudden you're engaged in worship. The Sabbath day was a wedding gift to Adam and Eve. The first gift. Isn't that something? God gave them a wedding gift. The Sabbath. And somewhere along the line, from then till now, we've allowed the Sabbath to get hijacked from our experience with God. And we can't figure out why we look so anemic. In our Christian experience, we have no power. We have to stop quitting the Sabbath. In a few days, there'll be a shift that'll be felt not just in our nation, but globally. I can assure you that it won't be like it was last time. Because there's nothing more concerning than when you lose something, get fully exposed, and get seated right back all over again. There is a certain empowerment. And it's not just that individual, but there's also individuals just in your day-to-day. They feel more empowered. They drive differently. They look at you differently. They engage with you differently. Your neighborhoods, they feel empowered now. And I'm saying that you need a special covering to continue on, because I can assure you that this thing is wrapping up. And the biggest challenge we have is thinking that the problem is out there and not realizing the problem is in here. So, Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible's clear. It says that God tells them, I said, I'm giving you my commandments and my statutes, and I want you to teach your children. Right? We have to stop the way we feel about the Sabbath. We need to rekindle something or just kindle it with God, because our children are picking up on that negativity that we have about God's holy day. And the problem I have is, when it's all said and done, if my two children have resentment to the Sabbath, I faltered along the way. Let me give you an example. My son, the little one, he went into a soccer league last year, and he's in a soccer league. And I don't know why we didn't check this ahead of time, but the game's on Saturday. So he's going to practice Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. On Fridays, when the sun sets early, he has to leave practice early. And the game's on Saturday. So some of the people in the soccer league attend his school and they're in his class. So you hear them talk about the game that they're getting ready for. Do you need a ride? We'll pick you up, bro. We'll pick you up, all that stuff. And then on Monday, you got to talk about, the game that they just had and go play it and reset. You know, you do that. You play it all over again, right? And so he's experienced that. So I didn't say anything. Ammon didn't say anything. We just, it's what we do. And all of a sudden, the coach comes one day and says, I'm trying to get some Sunday games set up. because I know that he can't attend. And so I'm trying to get those games set up, and I'm also going to cross him into another league, and because they have more, and that way he'll have more Sunday games he can play and participate in. And I said, okay, I appreciate that, whatever, right? And that was that. And then he brought it up again yesterday, and it's really, and yesterday he's really pushing it, and just going to make sure this happens, right? I thought it's interesting. On Wednesday, it really was Wednesday. I know it went 3 days, right? Wednesday, I was sitting down with my oldest son. We're watching the young one practice, and he says to me, Daddy, can you find me a football league? Now, he had asked me before, and I looked for one, couldn't find it, because all the football days were on Saturday, all the games. Now, he was in one before, played a couple seasons. I was a coach. Let's just say one thing led to another. We're not going back to that league. Right? And so I know they play on Sunday. But it just won't, it wasn't going to work out because the way my temperament set up, I have a this side and a that side. And when and they getting, you know what I mean? And then Popo, you know what I mean? And so I'm looking for one. So I looked and I couldn't find one. And so he says to me on Wednesday, can you please find me? You know, because he's watching his brother play something. He's not playing. He's out there supporting him, but can I get something, right? So I'm looking for one, and as I'm looking for it, did anyone have nosy children? Or a nosy friend, or anyone nosy? So I have my phone up, sure, and I'm going through looking for, all of a sudden, he comes and sits down. Thanks, Daddy! And I'm like, what? And I didn't even realize he's looking at all of my stuff. So by this time, it kind of hit him, but people watching. So he and I begin looking at it together and scrolling through. And here's what struck me. As we're going through the days that are coming up, games on Saturday. And he goes, okay, I can't do that one. But it's not a man. And he really wants to play. But I was watching his disposition. He wasn't upset with Sabbath. He was more bothered by them and their calendaring organization. Finally, we get to one. And it says Sunday. You ever see something good, don't know what you're looking at, kind of double check it a couple times? And I'm doing a whole lot of blinking, trying to clear my eyes up. You get old, you got to clear them up. And I'm looking, and I was like, yo, this is one right here. Wait. It starts Sunday. Like, Sunday. You don't even have a mouth guard. There's 4 slots left. But your brother has a game on Sunday. Because remember now they just switched up some stuff. But your brother has a game. Oh, well, wait a second. This one's in the morning. And your brother's going to have to. It seems such a small thing. What I watched God do is this. God gives children what they need to learn how to love him and trust him. As a parent, it'd have been messed up had I looked at that thing and say, you know what, we'll get you in. We'll just do Saturdays. We'll just, you know, mom and I will alternate. We'll go to church 1 week, do the game next week. We'll just kind of, right? They see the process at that age. So when they become my age, they have a God they can trust in. As opposed to, if I compromise, not that big of a deal anyway. Last thing and I'm done. We're going to wrap up. Can you play for me, please? Thank you. Trust and obey. I appreciate it. I told you last time I was here, we went to Texas, and I got caught up with TSA. Remember that thing? My son got me caught up with security, checking for bomb-making materials. Yeah, you weren't here. So during that trip, we go over, and I was asked to speak at a church. And it just so happened that they were not going to have lunch that day. Right? Now, just before we made a U-turn today, my youngest, I hope they have lunch today. And then, who did the announcements? Who is it that did the announcement? There won't be no lunch today, lunch next week. Oh, man. But it's different in Florida, Orlando, than it is in Texas, right? No lunch in Texas. So we got the hotel room, and they got a refrigerator, about as big as my index finger. And we were like, man, what are we going to do for their food? I'll go without food. I just, you know, I know it don't look like it, but I'll do it, right? But the children, right? So Amber and I are discussing it, and so the boys are like, my youngest one, he goes, oh, we don't need to get food and do all that stuff. Let's just go now to the grocery store. Let's get some crackers. Get some juice. Because sunset's early anyway. That'll carry us over to the 5 o'clock hour. Then we go out and get something to eat. And Amber and I were just kind of like, yeah, that's a good idea. So we went to the little, what was the name of this? Kroger. Went to Kroger's. And we tore Kroger's up. You know, you don't know what to expect the next day. So you buy all types of crackers and snacks, stuff you won't really eat. So we're buying all the stuff. And we get it. And it's in the car. And we're about 50 minutes from the church. And so we go to the hotel, put everything in there. And so the next day we get up to go to church. We bring some of the snacks with us. And we go to church. I want you to see what God does. And we get there. And the congregation individuals there, real nice. Oh, man, we know you're coming. We would have brought you here. You want to show you. And then someone says to me, did you see anything? Did you see any restaurants? And I said, no, I don't know. Probably did see some restaurants. What you suggesting? I don't know that manservant or that maidservant. I'm going to go ask Beatrice to get me another side of such and such. Like, that's not how I understood that commandment to mean. I'm like, no, we're good. We actually went to the Kroger yesterday and we got some stuff. And all we had was some powdered donuts and some crackers. They said, oh, yeah, today there's another event, another church, not too far from here. They had International Day. Oh, for real? Okay. So we got done with service. Got in the car, like, what did they say the church is? International Day? Yes, it's all day, all throughout the night. So we get in the car, we got nothing to do with Sabbath. Figure we'll go to church and go catch an evening service, afternoon service. We get up, pull up, people walking out with styrofoam. You don't hear me, Kev. Styrofoam. In their cars. People have every flag on you can think of, every flag. Like, you know how we do, flag everywhere. Toe wrapped, everything wrapped in flags. Just flags. So, we have children. So Amber, I said, you go in and scout out the place. And we do a little recon. I'm going to lay low in the car. That's that suspect move. You don't want to go in there, you know, look like you're hungry. I'll lay low and I'll watch your six. So her and the boys went in. It's a mother and two children, little boys. I told him to look, you know, sad and empathetic. Just look, you know, just walk in. But look a little weak too. You know, look. They came back. Fried chicken. Vegetarian fried chicken. Everything's big in Texas. Baked beans. Cornbread. Apple pie, cookies, curry something curry, chickpeas. Pretty much, they went to the Jamaican spot, got the Jamaican food. Went to the Trinidadian spot, got the Trinidadian food. Went to the American spot, got the American. International Day meant they were going to feed us, Tracy. We had crackers in the trunk. Powdered donut holes in the trunk. I even bought some old school clearly Canadian sparkling water in the trunk. But we're sitting there drinking sorrel. It's not for me. I'm good. I don't need. But my children need to see what happens when you give God your all. When you truly trust him and obey him, it's not because we're perfect. He's just trying to get us somewhere where we're not yet. And if he could teach them at this age how much he loves them, that he'll give them their little favorite cornbread, he'll give them some little mix-up curry, chutney, whatever, right? If he'll teach them at this age, I'm praying that in 5, 10, 15 more years, they can walk strong and then go without food and just trust that if it comes to it, a raven will come and feed them. We got to get back to the heart of worship. We got to get away from Quitter's Day. Every Sabbath when it rolls around, when we're not observing the Holy Sabbath, we're literally saying, I quit you. Quit you. Sabbath Eve, make it a delight. Pray on some stuff that you think would never move and see what God does. Just honor him and see what he does. He says, call it a delight. In other words, look forward to it. There's that one day a week we can go bike riding no matter what. That one day a week we can go out and have a nice little nature walk and get stung by a bee. I was protecting my son. But is that one day we could reflect and say, we got to recharge. We were able to give thanks for everything God has done and get a boost for the week ahead. It was that daily bread, but it held us. And I learned something valuable during that whole quarantine. If you don't spend time with God on a Sabbath, when it rolls around and this isn't here, you don't know where to go. Just end up like a ship tossed to and fro. So I get it. It wasn't a hallelujah, jump up, touch the ceiling sermon. The message is more so because God wants us to be cheerful when we render unto him what is his. Not under compulsion. Not because mommy says so. Not because daddy said so. Not because the church is demanding this and wants this from me. God says, I want all of you. And I want you to be glad about when you do it. And don't feel pressure from someone else as to why you do it. Your children can pick up on it. They know. They know. It's like they can smell you. And they'll know exactly where you are and how you feel about some things. They know who you like. When someone's child don't speak to you, their parents don't like you. I'm smelling mama right now. I can tell she don't mess with her. And they can tell you don't mess with God. So I'm just going to ask anyone who is like me, who says, Lord, I want to start today. National Quitter's Day was yesterday, but I'm still in your 24-hour Sabbath. And I want to start today, a new start with you. I'm going to commit to you, and I'm going to pray every Sabbath about the stuff that I need moved, stuff that I need rearranged. I'm going to put it before the Lord and watch him work. If you want to join me in this prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to have prayer. And we're asking God to move on some things. We're asking God to help us to become starters and not quitters, committing that this year also, 2025, we're going to do something very different. Something we haven't done before. Experiencing God's power. If we can close, I know that we're saying, I'm going to pray. Chiron, can you sing? I think you did Trust and Obey to close a moment ago when we had worship. If you can close with that song after we get done praying. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. You're so kind, oh God. I've quit so many things, dear Father, and every year, dear Lord, is a new resolution. This will be the year for this. This will be the year that doesn't happen any longer, dear Lord. It's a new year. I'm not going to get upset this year. I'm not going to miss a day without drinking water this year, or telling someone I love them this year, or cursing this year. And sure enough, dear Lord, by 4 o'clock the same day of the new year, we fall, and the devil makes us believe that that'll be the fate for the rest of the year. But today, dear Lord, we recognize that National Quitter's Day was yesterday. So that anxiety and that waiting period, those 10 days, dear Lord, it's all past. And now we can begin our walk with you as we never have before. So, dear Lord, today, we want to embrace these Sabbath blessings. There's so much power, dear Lord, in all things in this day that you bless, that you sanctify, that you hallow, you set it apart, dear Lord, a meeting place, a meeting ground, that every Sabbath you show up and wait for us to speak with you and commune with you so you may commune with us and speak to us, dear Lord, and give us wisdom for the week ahead and give us wisdom, dear Lord, for the days ahead. So, dear Father, today we stand saying, Lord, we begin with you. We need your help, dear God. There'll be all manner of pressures, dear God, that come up in our lives. And dear Father, it'll be work, it'll be school, it'll be neighbors, dear Lord. It'll be society, it'll be our social media, dear Father. It'll be all manner of things. It will be, dear God, the church. It'll be a board meeting, a business meeting, an elders meeting, a deacons meeting, a Sabbath school department meeting, dear Lord. All manner of meetings, dear God, that take and throw your name on it, dear Father, to disrupt, dear God, our time and our communion with you. Dear Lord, help us to get away from God understands and to get to the place where we start to understand God. Help us, I beg you, dear Father, draw closer to you. Help us, dear God, to become cheerful givers, to love the experience, to enjoy you, oh God. I beg you now, because dear God, there's some stuff that's getting ready to unravel and unfold. Things that have already, dear Lord, been put into the works. And so, dear God, I'm praying that you will cover us and shield us. But I'm asking, dear Lord, as you cover us and shield us, may we not, dear Lord, remove your covering by stepping outside, dear Lord, of a covenant relationship with you. But dear Lord, your Sabbath recognizes a covenant in your love. And dear Lord, I recognize that there will be some who, dear Father, who will be in heaven, they didn't know about your Sabbath. But those of us who do know, dear God, help us to honor it. Because dear Lord, to him that knoweth good and doeth it not, to him, to her, it is sin. Help us, I beg you. Save us, I pray. There's no quitter, dear Lord, by your grace. But help us acquit the things, dear Lord, that separate us from you. The things, dear Lord, that get in front of us and between us, dear Lord, from serving you. Draw us unto you, I beg you. Save us, I pray. Love you, Lord. We're asking, dear Father, that when you return, that we'll be cheerful, that we'll be happy, that we'll be full of joy, that we'll be glad, and hear you say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Help us to trust you. Help us to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.